let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's being called a fresh perspective on achieving peak performance, inspiring, exhilarating, unique, a must-read for any aspiring leader and anyone who dreams of living their best life. The book Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers by leadership consultants and adventurers Amy Posey and Kevin Vallelate, combining insights from the adventure world with innovative research from the field of neuroscience to provide unique, valuable leadership lessons. Amy is a leadership facilitator, keynote speaker, former CEO of the AIP Group, a leadership development firm that combines insights from the adventure and business worlds for unique and effective leadership training, founder and CEO of Super Mega Boss, a manager training program, and an extreme adventurer. Amy Posey, co-author of Wild Success, our guest on This Week in America. Amy, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Rick. It's great to be here.
I love the background, and we'll get into your background as we go through. This is not just working with business people, but you are an adventurer yourself and learned a lot of these lessons. And I'm interested, as I'm reading, when did you decide that the skills and the principles that led to success in adventuring by you and others be applied to succeeding in today's demanding business environment? How did that come about and eventually end up in the book Wild Success?
Well, honestly, Rick, I've always had sort of an adventurous spirit. And so one of my first careers was a management consultant. And so I worked at a big management consulting firm, and I would take these spectacular vacations and go on adventures and climb mountains and go, you know, see things and go to these places. And people would always ask me, like, why are you going there? Or what are you doing on vacation? And so I always had this sort of yearning to go out, see the world, see what I could learn, explore new places. And it sort of lent itself to a lot of my approach to how I would help solve problems and talk with people. And a couple of years later, after I sort of was winding down that consulting career, I met with a group of people at the AIP Group, formerly Peak Teams, who were doing this for a living and really had made the connection between the adventure world and the business world. And a friend of mine actually made the introduction, and he said, you know what, I found your people. And so I connected with them, and, you know, they started by going on these adventures and filming them and then creating these immersive experiences for people to go on through the comfort of their own conference room, but still go through the challenges and turmoil and changes and communication issues that come with going on an expedition. And then really the aha moments would happen around, hey, this is just like what we're going through as a team, doing whatever it is we were doing, right? In a finance company, yes, or working with a tech company. It was amazing to see the parallels that people would draw. And so we got to go have all the fun and go video and create these experiences, and people would just get these great aha moments. And so that's really the start of it, is always sort of having it inside of me and then finding a group of humans that were making this our day-to-day. And that's really the genesis for where Wild Success came from, because there's a group of us who have had these experiences and have learned so much about ourselves and how we work with others. And that's how the book came to be.
Well, it's interesting because all of that you learned is in the book Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers. The book is available wherever books are sold. Amy's website is morewildsuccess.com. We'll have all that posted on our website. And what's interesting, too, is you're combining business and neuroscience. Talk about that, because many of the principles you're talking about in the book have a scientific foundation to them, don't they?
They really do. And about a decade ago, I had been thinking about how teams and people and individuals perform for a long time, but it wasn't until I had a chance meeting with someone who is really focused on the biology of what water does to us in our brains that I made the connection. And he said, you know what, you should really look at the science behind the behaviors and conversations that you're having, because I think it would lend a whole lot more. And he was right. And to this day, inspires me. His name's Jay Nichols, and he wrote a book called Blue Mind. And so he's like, you know what, there's a lot of stuff that comes into play with the neuroscience. And so what I did is ended up going and getting a degree in neuroscience and the neuroscience of leadership specifically, to look at how applied neuroscience could inform our behaviors. And it just elevated thinking about how we work in the business world with each other as humans so much more, because it gave me a lot of the reasons why things were the way they were, why leadership was successful or wasn't so successful, how we operated as a team, how emotions came into play in terms of the work we do, how purpose drove our behavior, how innovation happens. And so the book was also an opportunity to blend the science in, to not just talk about the adventurers or some stories from business, but to blend it with understanding the why and the reasons why we tick and our brains work and why we decide to go out on these adventures, or how we can apply this information to our day-to-day activities. Because I'm, if nothing else, I'm a pragmatist. And so I like to use science that's really practical and applicable. And to me, the book is more complete because we can kind of dig in a little bit deeper and understand the science behind the behaviors that we illustrate through the adventure and business story.
Well, you do such a wonderful job in breaking it down and explaining to us that it's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Amy Posey, our guest, the book is Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers. And it's interesting, you take off on with your partner, with the co-writer, Kevin, 11 people, an expedition to the Arctic on foot in winter. And you think about that, you've got to be innovative. You have to think on your feet. You have things that are going to come up that you probably didn't plan on, yet you can't put it off until tomorrow. You can't go home and think about it, then go back and tackle it. You have to deal with it in that current situation, don't you?
Absolutely. And that particular trip, which it's funny because the cover photo is actually from that trip. And it was an amazing adventure that Kevin was the expedition leader on. I was the production leader on. And being able to pull people together from diverse backgrounds to put them in a situation that none of us had sort of been challenged with before, with such a large team, there were absolute real dangers of the weather and frostbite and polar bears that show up in the, in the Canadian Arctic, right? These are real threats and real challenges. And so we wanted to see how a team and a diverse team would come together to face those, because we had someone like Kevin, who is the world record holder to the South Pole, the geographic South Pole, so very comfortable in the polar environment. A few others of us, deep and broad adventure experience. And then we had someone new to the team who had really never undertaken anything like this before. True California girl, had never really seen anything below zero, if we're being honest. And so we had a wide range. And we used it as an experiment in leadership and high performance of a team. And it's definitely an extreme example, but the things that we learned and how we communicated and what the expectations were and people's perceptions of safety and danger and how we collaborated, it all has to happen immediately. We have to make quick decisions. There are risks involved. You have to be innovative in solving the solutions. It's not unlike what happens in every business day to day. Yeah, the stakes might be a little bit higher, because if you have a bad day up in the Arctic, you may not come home. But those moments of really pushing yourself and seeing what you can accomplish as an individual and as a team, they're really special. And that's really why I get out into the nature as often as I possibly can, to really give myself those challenges. And you never know what you can really accomplish until you do it.
The book we're talking about is Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers. Amy Posey, the co-author, is our guest on the program. Our website is morewildsuccess.com. Book available wherever books are sold. And I love the presentation. Each chapter of the book profiles an adventurer and the hardships that they go through and the accomplishments in whatever their extreme feat is. Talk about how you went about picking out the 7, because they really demonstrate the different principles that we can apply to regular everyday life in leadership and in business.
Rick, it's really cool because for the most part, these are pretty good friends of mine at the start. So Kevin and I, you know, we tapped into our network of people that we either work with or know, and then we got to know a few other adventurers along the way. And so some we've worked with together in sharing these lessons. Mark Matthews, big wave surfer based in Australia, who is, you know, on the surface a real sort of chill out surfer dude, but is so deep and thoughtful in how he approaches life. Matt McFadgen, a good friend of mine, also kind of a Not an accidental adventurer, but not what you would typically think, and someone who sort of learns and grows and develops. Roz Savage, who is by all means the best ocean rower of all time, and a spunky woman who literally has rowed every single ocean solo and just continues to develop herself. She just recently got a PhD, wrote another book. Like, these are people who, if you talk to them, they would consider themselves pretty ordinary people doing extraordinary things, but they're pretty, like, all of their stories are so spectacular and so moving to me that we just felt like, In talking with all of them, we had to tell their story and capture and the lessons that we could all take from each of them. And that to me is the real special part of the book is these are really spectacular people that, you know, otherwise you might not have never ever heard their stories, or they only a snippet of their stories, but really to understand how they work, how they make decisions, what's important to them, and the trials and tribulations that they've faced, because to be quite honest, all of them have faced some real heavy stuff. And so to be able to go through and share those stories and give us all lessons on how we can get through difficult moments, to me, that's a really powerful set of stories to read.
You start the book with Mark Matthews. You mentioned him. The chapter is cognitive reappraisal. Talk about that, the importance of that. That's one of the chapters in the book.
Yeah, that chapter is a favorite of mine and one that I think everybody can use right now. It's really looking at the silver lining and dealing with things that are setbacks and finding a way to pause, acknowledge your emotional response to them, but then reframing and reappraising what that situation is, what that negative is, and what you can gain and learn and grow from it. And Mark is definitely the master of it. He got in and has been in multiple surfing injuries. He surfs 50-foot waves. It's a 5-story building. You're going to get hurt. It's just part of it's part of the deal. And he has definitely been through some really tough times. And he always comes out the other side with, you know, the lessons learned and the ability to pivot and switch to be able to think about, okay, you know what? Yes, this is bad and bad things happen. How do I take this and push forward? How do I keep going? And to me, it's one of those lessons that right now is so valuable for all of us, because we're all kind of in this space with COVID and a lot of the things that are happening in the universe. And it's like, how do I find the silver linings? How do I be resilient in that space to reappraise and rethink about the things that have happened? You know, yes, I am in quarantine. You know what? That gives me more time to focus on hobbies or spend time with my family who maybe I was traveling and neglecting, or foster a pet or do something that's different that gives time for me. And I think that's a really great lesson for what we're dealing with now.
You also deal with, this is interesting, grit, the passion to prevail. We all sort of have these voices in our mind. Yes, you can. No, you can't. That type of thing. And you talk about the voice of the imposter syndrome, replacing it with a positive narrative. Talk about that and the example you use in the book, because this is something that it's an example that we all can be better for.
The imposter syndrome is really, really dark, and so many people have it. And the chapter on grit, we profile novice adventurers. So Paul Gleason and Torrey Holmes went out and they rode the Atlantic Ocean together, never having gone on a massive adventure like that. Not rowers, not really accomplished. And they, you know, you're going to have those creeping doubts of like, oh, what am I doing here? Well, like, what am I thinking? This is crazy.
Yes, yes.
And to be able to overcome that with repetition and with the power and belief in, you know what, I'm a human, I can break this down into steps that are manageable and reasonable, and I can tackle whatever gets thrown at me. And that idea that you practice and you devote that time and energy to do it, that's really the core of what grit is. And to be able to, you know, push forward when things, you, that little negative voice in your head, which we are naturally negatively wired, you've got to really consciously and conscientiously push through that and remind yourself that you're capable and you're smart enough and you're good enough. And that's, you know, it's part of it is that psychological aspect of thinking about being determined and practicing and preparing for those things that you want to do. And I think Paul and Torrey both are super positive people to begin with. And so sort of taking that lesson of when it gets hard, you have to dig deep into your mental reserves more than anything else to reaffirm your belief in yourself that you can go after whatever it is that you want to, whether that's rowing an ocean or frankly, anything. So I think it's a really powerful lesson.
And you talk about fake it until you make it. And those are words to live by, because that can get you through some difficult circumstances, can't it?
Well, and it's funny because I think it's something that you can put yourself in a position. And it's funny because there's all this research around, you know, applying for a new job or trying something different. And you have all these doubts that creep up. And some of it is just having the confidence to take that step forward and to say, I'm going to do this bold thing and I'm going to believe in myself, and to know and be aware that there will always be people against you. There'll always be naysayers and people who don't agree or say things. And you just have to override that and listen to your own instincts around being able to have the confidence in yourself. And that's a lot of it. And that's a lot of what I see, especially in the business world, taking on new roles, taking on challenges. People always sort of second guess and worry. But part of it is just having the confidence to say, yes, you know what, I'm going to go do this. And if I don't succeed, it's not a matter of I'm a failure. It's what do I take and learn from it so that I can do better next time. And when you can reframe failure, like I talk about in growth mindset, mindset's a really key piece of that. When you can reframe failure as, you know what, it doesn't make me less of a person. It is an opportunity to learn and to thrive and grow. And to be a more complex person, then failure becomes not so scary at all. It becomes a, hey, I'm going to go out and do these things, and they may work out, they may not, but I'm going to take a fantastic story from it. And that's, a lot of adventures are like that. Like, you know what, I'm going to go try and do this crazy thing. If it doesn't work out, number one, hopefully I'll stay alive. But number two, I'm going to have a fantastic story to tell around it and what it did to me as a human.
So much to talk about. Amy Posey, our guest on the program, co-author of the book Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers. We have to take a break. We'll be back with Amy in just a second. And we'll talk about purpose, finding your spark. She's got a great example of someone who did that. She's mentioned her already, and we'll talk about it when we come back. More on This Week in America after these messages. Welcome back. This Week in America, Coast to Coast, Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers. Amy Posey, co-author, our guest on the program today. Left, I was talking about a purpose, finding your spark. And you talked about Roz Savage before. Talk about Roz, a perfect example of really finding something that motivates you and following through with it.
Yeah, Roz is this spectacular woman. She is a fireball of energy and excitement and enthusiasm. And you know what? She got herself in a position that I think a lot of people get themselves in. She, like me, started her career in management consulting, and she had a moment where it wasn't working for her. And she kind of took that step back, and she allowed herself the time and space to discover who she was, what she wanted to be. And she tried a lot of different things. And most people would be like, oh, she got off track or she did something else. All of it was in the service of finding what she really was passionate about. And at the beginning, in the outset, she decided to row across the Atlantic Ocean and, you know, put herself through this physical challenge and mental challenge, and discovered that it was a space that she could really reflect and think about, but then realized, you know what, this is bigger than me. And it sparked a real passion in her around the environment and saving our oceans. And she ended up rowing the Pacific Ocean and the Indian Ocean subsequently on her rowing expeditions, and really called attention to the needs of climate change, and has been a climate change champion for the years following her expeditions, and has really thought about different ways to make an impact on something broader than herself. And to me, she's kind of a model, because having a purpose and having something that's beyond just your job or just, you know, your role of who you are, maybe as a parent or a friend or a sister or a sibling or a child, whatever it is, but really thinking about and being conscious around, what is my purpose? What is the thing I'm going toward that's bigger than myself? I think not a lot of us spend time thinking about our purpose. We think about getting jobs. We think about, you know, things that we want to do and plans that we have. But thinking about actually developing a purpose statement, or thinking about what's bigger than you that you're driving toward in everything that you do, and spending that time to find a spark and thinking about your core values and how you can align, you know, the things that maybe you used to love as a kid and you've gotten away from now, what are the things that really excite you and motivate you and make you think larger than yourself? And thinking about that in the scope of, giving to the greater good. Roz has had the ability to kind of take that and model it in her behavior, going from, you know, warlorn consultant who sort of wasn't happy with where she was,
yes,
to really taking the time to explore and expand her horizon. So I think it's a great lesson to really actually dedicate that time and space to think about your purpose.
Got a couple minutes left in the program. One area of the book, one chapter, you talk about how to build personal sustainability, and you use your co-writer as an example there. Talk about that. I don't have a lot of time, but just tease us a little bit on that section, because that's so good. One area is setting boundaries, and that's something we all can learn from. When you're in a situation in extreme adventuring, you have to learn to set boundaries pretty quickly, don't you?
Absolutely. And Kevin's kind of a model of behavior around, he's involved in a ton of stuff. I mean, the man takes on so much, but yet he knows what to say no to. Because he knows what he's going to say yes to, he also knows what he's going to say no to. And I think that that's a really important piece of understanding that you can't give everything to everyone all the time. And you really want to be conscious of your time, and you actually have to say no, and the liberation that comes from saying no to things that don't fit
yes.
with your purpose is amazing. And so he's a great example, because he will absolutely say no to things that don't fit in what he's really trying to drive for himself, for, you know, his career as an architect, as a leadership developer, as an author. Like, he does a ton of stuff, and you wouldn't think he says no based on his resume, but he actually is really well defined in what he says yes to and what he says no to. So he can focus on things like his physical exercise, because he always needs to be in expedition shape. You never know when that guy's going to go out on a trip to go do something crazy. So he's just really good at being able to define when to say no.
I would take a minute here at the end. Innovation is something you deal with. And I'm thinking, boy, how many times when you're out do you think, I really don't know what the answer is to this problem, but I better figure it out, or I'm going to be out here for the rest of my life. Innovation is something that has to be the top of your mind. No matter what you do, you're innovating your way out of a situation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's thinking about those clever ways to come up with new ideas. And for me, my deep research in neuroscience was about innovation. I'm based in Silicon Valley. I work with tech companies all the time. I want to figure out, like, how do they get these ideas? And it turns out the adventure world and the natural world is a perfect germination area, because our brains work best outside and in motion. And so oftentimes when you get out and do some sort of diffuse thinking and let your mind wander, that's when the good ideas come. And so oftentimes when we're out on adventures, like, it's the natural playground for innovation and idea building. So if you want to be more innovative, go out, get outside, go for a walk. You're going to be amazed at how quickly ideas come, and make time for that every day.
You take these ideas back and work with the leaders, management, people in your regular job. 30 seconds here. What's it like when you see changes, when they suddenly are like, you know, this makes sense and it works for me? This has to be sort of that aha moment that they're going through, that you're teaching them through.
It's very fulfilling to get those aha moments. And they're super quick too, because it's stuff that sometimes we know, but to get the science to reinforce those
yes.
beliefs that
yes.
we've kind of already had, very fulfilling. And that's really what I get from people. They go, oh, that's why. I always, you know, get better ideas when I've gone out for a walk and I stepped away from something. And those moments are really special for me, especially when I can hear from people over time, or, you know, the folks who have read the book that know me. It's been fantastic to hear them say, like, this is a manual for how to live a better, more productive life. And that's been really rewarding. And it's great to see people take on those behaviors, do small tweaks, not big things. We're not talking about full-scale change, but those small tweaks every day make a huge difference. And so when I see those or hear from people who tell me those things, that makes me feel pretty good.
The book is Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers. Amy Posey, our guest on the program. Book available wherever books are sold. Their website is morewildsuccess.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. All the information there. Amy, a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks a ton, Rick. Have a great day.
You as well. Wild Success, 7 Lessons Business Leaders Can Learn from Extreme Adventurers by Amy Posey. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.